Welcome.
My name is Richie. All right, well, say hello to the bad guy. I drove my truck to the meeting. I didn't drive no fancy wheels, all that old slick ass shit, man. I'm telling you right now, I done got my ass whacked. I'm just telling you, I came to tell you, report in. I'm grateful to be clean, and I'm grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful to be with y'all. No, because I don't realize how much I need you and depend on you until I don't have you. If we suffer from an antisocial illness, that means it's going to be a whole lot of times in my life where I don't believe that I need you. That I'm clean enough, that I'm smart enough, that I have enough, and that y'all are now becoming a liability. Hey, just stay clean long enough. That's all. Just stay here long enough. Unfortunately, I've hated myself consistently enough to do all kinds of self-destructive shit, and the people that love me have gotten drugged as a result. It ain't never personal. But if I ain't got it for me, you ain't got nothing coming. So you can't come to the meeting complaining about what he or she is doing when you fucking picked them. And you ain't got it to leave. And I was just thinking, because Ocean City and this convention has been such a huge impact on my life. Not just my recovery, my fucking life. We used to come here to listen to Kenny Ali and to Melvin C. And Artie used to come and teach us. And you'd be in the meeting with them one day and be standing at their casket the next. And I called Artie 2 days before he died and told him how much I appreciated him and how much I took him for granted, thinking that he was always going to be here. Because it's funny, I figure I'll get to y'all whenever I feel like getting to y'all. I'm serious. Y'all are not important to me. You're only important to me when my motherfucking ass is on fire, and it shouldn't be like that. And I'm glad I got an opportunity to tell him. Because there's so many people I didn't have an opportunity to tell, because I'm so fucking arrogant and self-centered that I can't get to the truth. And it's all that has to do with fear. If you find out who I really am, you're going to hate me as much as I hate myself. So just do some shit to just make people... I'm an asshole. And it is intentional, because you got to test boundaries to see who's going to be worthy to put up with your shit to really commit to loving you. So anybody that runs from me on like a 4 or 5, I know they ain't worthy. They can't be in my foxhole. Them motherfuckers ain't prepared for this shit. Tell them, George, loving me requires a whole lot. You got to come with something. It ain't easy. That's why there's a whole bunch of y'all. Y'all just take turns. No, but here, the real reason this convention is so important, because of all these people that impacted my life. But 12 years ago, it was 2005. And the theme of the convention was dreams do come true. And I was down at the bottom of that stairwell. You know how the glass is across the top up here? And I was looking up and I seen this fat motherfucker go across. And I was like, oh my God. And she had on these jeans and these nice hooker boots that come way up to your knee. And I like that. No, I like that. I like nasty, dirty, inappropriate, don't look like it's gonna hurt too bad. Where were you at, Larry? Larry was speaking on a topic, but I was at that point we was just going to hear Larry, but I was on hooker boots now. And that beautiful smile and them beautiful eyes and that golden brown skin and that fat ass. Oh my God. We're talking about 12 years ago. I was driven by some different things then. I was younger then. I didn't know that who I was enough. No idea. I didn't know who I was. But, you know, we present. It's fronting. You know, I'm a creative person that I think that you can love. You know, but then if you keep asking too many questions, then I got to figure out how to spin the whole thing, because you're starting to find idiosyncrasies in the story and things ain't starting to line up and shit's getting tough. I think I met my wife right there in that row where Deneen's sitting, right there. 12 years ago today, and at this convention in 2005, dreams do come true. And I wasn't coming here for looking for that. I was coming here looking for healing, but you know, about this time of night, things start getting a little tricky. Huh? I don't know. Maybe, you know, y'all, everybody's here for a spiritual awakening. All right. Well, there's going to be a couple rude awakenings along the way, too. And I had been through the steps once or twice at 4 years clean, but at 4 years clean, how much living experience do you really have? I wish I could have warned this woman about what she was getting ready to get herself into, but I didn't know. All I knew, it was hard spending time with somebody I didn't like. So I needed somebody in there with me to kind of fill that void. So as a result of showing up here, continuing to being willing to do the work, getting married, making a commitment to God, that's what's crazy about this thing. God is going to be the first one I need when everything goes haywire, but he'll be the last one I seek when I'm making my decisions. So I really want everything to go my way. I don't want him to get in the way. It's strange. So what happened is, as a result of growing through the pain, I done went and got my own relationship with him that don't have nothing to do with my wife. She used to go to church and I wasn't going. I said, that's where the hell you need to be. You know what I mean? You need to be in church. And realized that she was over there praying for me that I'll get myself together. Because there was this thing that happens when you're married, to say, what God brings together, that no man. I didn't even realize that no man was me. That I couldn't even ruin it. And it wasn't that it was intentional. I wasn't trying to do it. But I didn't have no skills, and I didn't know how to say I didn't have any skills. So I did what I always did, that I've always done. Make shit so fucking uncomfortable that they'll leave you. Because you don't have enough self-esteem to ask or say or remove yourself and go get yourself together and see if she'll wait. You don't want to come to Ocean City and see her holding hands with the next motherfucker walking down the hall. Think how he done had her motherfucking legs high as the uprights down Raven Stadium, and you got, I don't want to feel that. So I'm going to stay here and suffer and pretend. But you don't know you're doing all this when you're doing all this. Because you're so used to bullshitting. Talking shit and fast talking and trying to buy things. That's what I do. I buy you. I try to buy stuff. Get you a nice place to live and buy food and and buy clothes and shoes that match your shirt. And depends how much trouble I get in. We're going on cruises. And I'm buying rings. And the one ring is for a wedding ring. The other one is I promise I won't do it again. I mean, how many fucking earrings can you buy? When they know your name at K's and Shaw's and, oh, Mr. Reese, you done did that shit. Come on, we got a whole new line. And the fucked up part is that your ego's like, these motherfuckers know me. I'm a motherfucking baller in the motherfucker. Masters of self-deception. Not no apprentice, not no motherfucking journeyman. Masters of self-deception. Like that shit. Going to shoe store. That was crazy. You gonna hear some shit. You wasn't even in there. Motherfucking, my wife hit me in the head with a shoebox, and we got the rumbling. This shit got crazy. I think she was watching Love and Hip Hop or Cheaters or Mari Povich or some shit activated her illness. And or one of you dumb motherfuckers had some advice. So I'm lacing her new shoes, trying to get her to calm down because I bought new shoes because, you know, that's what I do. We're going to be cool. I'm going to buy you some shoes and it's going to be all right. You're going to forgive me. So she threw the shoes at me. I'm folding clothes. She flipped them on the floor. So, okay. So I'll try to go in the room to get away because I'm afraid. No, we got to be clear. When you've been with a woman for years, and this the first time you ever seen some shit get crazy like this, it gets scary. So anyway, I'm trying to get to a point. I don't want to talk about all that shit. What happened is, she called the police. She called the fucking police. Now, hood law is, you don't get the fucking police called to your fucking house. Are you crazy? I gotta work in the morning. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be rational now. Who's gonna pay for all this? So she had the house phone. And she went outside to use the house phone. I locked her motherfucking ass out, right? Because I had needed time to think. This bitch is crazy. What the fuck? We ain't never been here before. I had no idea what to do, so I locked her out. Then, so she couldn't call the police, I pulled the jack out the wall. I ain't no dumb motherfucker. Ain't never been slow. So I don't know what the fuck she done did, but the next thing you know, I'm not answering the motherfucking door. I don't give a fuck. You assholes can beat on the fucking door all day. I don't give a fuck. I gotta work tomorrow. The reality is I didn't want to face what the fuck my life had become in that moment. How did we get here? I don't know. Well, I know there was a series of events that got us here. But what the fuck activated this shit? We was just cool last week. We was having sex again and every fucking thing. Like, it's over. Yes. Now, y'all can go ahead, man. I swear, I don't give a fuck. You're going to be out there till 3 o'clock when it's time for me to leave. So I plugged the phone back in. I want to hear what they had to say. So they called me from the house phone that she had gave them and called my cell phone. Oh, can you open the door? Hell no. Hell no. Open the door for what? We need to talk. We're on the fucking phone now. That's what I told them.
You're on the motherfucking phone now. What you got to say? I'm not opening the door. I done seen all kinds of shows. I was dead ass fucking serious. I'm not opening the fucking door. I'm getting irritated now. You're asking me some really stupid shit. Open the door so I can lock you up. Man, fuck you. I didn't do nothing. She started it. Now I'm a brat. She started it. You gotta understand, there's all these conflicting principles going on. I don't want nothing to happen to my wife, but wait a minute. You started this shit and you called these motherfuckers. Thank God, I was scared. Yo, so this what happened. Are you ready? All right, where are all my motherfucking tennis shoe fanatics? Any of them in here? All right, well, when there's a shoe release, you have to be at the store at a certain time to get your shoes. And when you go there, you got to have a ticket, which means you had to been there a few days prior to get your ticket. And not only that, when you get there, there's police to make sure shit don't jump off. So I done said a little prayer on the couch. I said, fuck it, we're going to deal with this shit, God. Fuck it, we're going to open this door. I opened the door, the police come in, he said, what the fuck you do, tennis shoe man? It was the police that's at the tennis shoe store every Saturday when I go buy my new releases. So I said, all right, this might be all right. This might be all right. I'm just saying, I try to find humor in it, and I try to tell you the truth about this shit, but there's something in the literature where it says we can't live with or without drugs or anything to replace them. And just because I've worked the steps a few times and I've spoken a lot of meetings and I've helped a lot of people and I've allowed several of you to really get an opportunity to know me and love me, it has no bearing on the fact that I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So when y'all sit up here and tell me you got it all figured out, I kind of get out the way. Because I know that shit got crash written all over it. It's just a matter of time. So let me just tell you, the pain of being me and try to handle life based on my own understanding and not allowing my wife to help me and not allowing my friends to help me and doing exactly what I wanted to do and try to manage the consequences. And what happens is there's this thing inside of you, you was talking about it, that the connection with God is that small voice. But coming to Narcotics Anonymous and learning how to pray and going and being committed to a home group and helping people, and you're establishing this voice, you're allowing this voice to have power and dominion, and you're relying on it as a source of dependence and guidance for the way that you operate. When things start to get funny, that thing speaks to you and kind of gets you on a trail. Don't go that way. Wait, no, don't do that. Don't say that. That's going to hurt. You're going to end up. So the more that I fed that thing, the more that my spirit had power over my flesh. And then I started, you know, getting some money and buying some things and getting my kids braces and buying my wife whatever she wanted. And then she got hurt on the job. Then I said, you don't ever have to work again. I'm Big Willie now. Like, I'm, you know, I'm making monsters, though. I'm making monsters. I'm developing dependency on me, but they got to act a certain way. And the moment you ain't acting the way I need you to act, to motherfucking kiss the goddamn ring, because I'm King Richard in this bitch, and now you want to tell me about my behavior? You can't tell me about my behavior. But then that thing transitions to then now nobody can tell you about your behavior. And now you're in a relationship with your wife, and she don't like you, and you're an asshole, and then your kids, they don't trust you, they can't be vulnerable around you because you use your title rather than being on an intimate time with them to allow them to have the freedom to express themselves, and you try to open yourself up to listen to what they're asking of you and give them an opportunity to share with you, because now you want to shut them down because you've never been that way with anybody. So you don't want to be vulnerable with them. They don't have an opportunity to be vulnerable with you. You want them to do what the fuck you say, not what I do. You wanted to buy them shoes that match their little outfits. You parade them down to meeting when they're 2 and 3 years old. You keep their hair fresh. You get them their insurance. You take care of their mother. Make sure they're all straight. But they don't know you. So then when they start growing up and needing you, you don't have the connection that you need to be able to guide and govern them because they don't trust you. Because you get angry every time you get too emotional and don't know how to manage the feelings that they're presenting to you because you ain't dealt with them yourself. And because you can't control the outcome and you have no way it's going to go, you get frustrated when you push them further away. But then you buy them phones so you can try to control them. Because I'll cut your motherfucking phone off. Matter of fact, that ain't your phone. That's my motherfucking phone. I didn't even word that right. Keep this motherfucking control thing in order. No. Because I know not every one of y'all in here has been this wonderful parent. Like the children was such a wonderful reward. That motherfuckers get in the way. I don't know. We talking about total self-centeredness. Total self-centered means I love you guys and I appreciate you, but none of you are more important than what I want. So don't get in the way when I'm locked. We have a fucking problem. And that's ugly, but that's real. And that's why a spiritual awakening and transformation is necessary so you can see yourself coming before you cause that kind of harm to the people that are supposed to matter the most. All y'all love me, but I can't go home and get what I need from my original sponsorship family. That's fucked up. So the pain that has motivated me to change is when my head popped out of my ass and my wife been telling me and 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 telling me. And then finally one day I heard her. And now I'm trying to hurry up and rush around and try to fix years of damage. And this is what really fucked me up. We at the mall, because I'm a good guy, man. I love being generous. I feel like whatever God has put in my cup, if you trust him enough to pour it out on whoever he presents to you, he'll give you a bigger cup with bigger rewards so you can continue to share. Because when you're a conduit for his will, you feel the power and the might. It's awesome when you do something that ain't got nothing to do with you and you just want to help, you want to impact your society, you want to change the world, you know you're important, you know you have value, you know you have the resources, and you just allow it to happen, you feel worthy. Finally, you feel worthy of love and that you matter. So my phone ain't working, but hers is working fine, and we're in the shoe store, and I'm trying to show my wife a pair of shoes on FaceTime. So I said, give me your phone. And I get her phone, and she's, give me the motherfucking phone. And she's hawking me. She's on me with the phone. I said, give me the phone, and she's fighting me. I said, ooh, we got something. We got something. I'm on to something. We're on to something. And here's the problem. This is just through identification. This is a 16-year-old precious little girl. But she just tried to take something from me. So now she's the motherfucker on the tier. Not only did give me the motherfucking phone, do you know what the fuck I will do to you in this motherfucking store? Completely out of order. No balance of emotion. No, honey, let go of the phone. Now you are laughing, I'm causing fucking harm. And I can't stop myself. Because once that juice and you see that fear in their motherfucking eyes, it does something for me. This is my child. This is last weekend. This ain't 82. It's the shit you gotta feel day in and day out while you're waiting on God to come get you. And you're begging, asking for mercy again. Because what happened is through acting out on my defects of character and going outside of my marriage and having a girlfriend in Ohio and tricking in motherfucking Hawaii. That's how you know you're a goddamn scrub. Your wife is in Baltimore and you're buying pussy in Hawaii and you get caught. You can't even buy a pussy 5,000 miles away, you asshole. God loves you so much. He loves you so much, he ain't even gonna let you hang out there like that. But you gotta feel all that. Talk about that wounded look, man. Oh my God. So we back to the phone. Give me the goddamn phone. So I take it. Well, by now we're going through. I need a passcode. Give me the motherfucking passcode. Fuck you. What the fuck you locking my phone for? Now I'm gonna, you know. Scrolling through there in the food court and she is on top of me. Man, get away from me! Because I'm afraid. I've got something, but I don't know what I got. You know what I mean? And you better be careful sticking your nose in shit that has the ability to run you over. Stay out your people's phone. You sure you want that reality? You ready to make a decision? Leave his motherfucking phone alone. They talk about in the third step, it's intuitive. If you feel it, this is spiritual. My wife never caught me doing nothing. Her spirit always told her I wasn't right. Never once. You think I'm admitting to that shit? I don't come from there. I don't come from there. No, this is, hey, I didn't even get caught in Ohio. That motherfucking girl called my wife. My wife's a gangster. She poked me between my eyes. You couldn't even find a bitch thorough enough not to call me when you was done with her ass? Felt like a sucker. Fucked my life up, man. Hurt myself bad. Sent myself spiraling out of control. Practicing behaviors outside of the will of God, loyal to the behaviors, didn't know how the fuck I got there, and then the big problem was this. How the fuck do you stop? I don't know how to stop. I'm living a lie. I'm feeding it, because now I'm getting juice from it. And I'm getting high, control, power, illusion. All that shit is driving me. I'm selling, telling all these wolf tickets and lying, and motherfucking bitches believing it, and it's just getting better. It's getting better. I'm getting so much further from, oh my God, I thought I was going to get high. Didn't realize that. I was like, I don't know how to stop this shit. How did I become this person? They smoking all that medical marijuana out in the woods and shit. I'm like, maybe I should just take a hit. And I thought about, man, fuck that. You got to face this shit. There's too many people depending on you. Too many people love you. You got to get your act together. And that's when she called. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know what I mean? Then they had to talk about details and shit like that. Why the fuck you doing that? If you suck somebody's dick, I don't want to know nothing about that shit. I ain't. I don't. I guess, guys, I'm different. You know what I mean? But here's the other part. If you'd have did half the shit to me that I did to you, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Because I'm not even mature enough to process it or be willing to do the work. And that's self-centered as shit. My wife stood behind me every way. Now, she had to do what she needed to do to get her mental health in order because, you know, she's about to kill me. I applauded that. I got to get the fuck out of the way. But, you know, I still want to be here. You know what I mean? No, because there's parts of the pain where you got to learn how to, what part of you is the responsibility for still taking the whipping years later? Because you still feel horrible about what you've done, and when that shit shows up, are you still supposed to stand there and take them beatings? Oh, yeah. We had to get a therapist, because somebody needed to tell us what was the rules. How long? You know what I mean? You get 5 minutes in the morning, you need to share, motherfucker. Go ahead, do your whooping now. Or 5 minutes in the evening, but we ain't gonna just you follow me around the motherfucking house beating me up. No, you're laughing because you gotta realize when you love somebody and you hurt that person, you had to hurt yourself too. It was the way that I felt about myself to participate in certain behaviors that caused the harm. Like I said, you just got drug as a result. I never do that shit in my right mind. I got separated from the pack. I was out depending on me, trusting me, believing in me. I was living in the woods in West Virginia, building a gas plant, working seven days a week, 12 hours a day. You know, $3,000-$4,000 a week. You know, you fucking can't tell me nothing. I ain't going to meetings with these fucking hillbillies. Fuck, they ain't saying nothing. Now I got real complacent, real closed-minded. You just go listen to the literature, you asshole. Literature's the program. Forgot that. You get everything you need from listening to literature. Then they share their experience. But you done shut down. And as a result, you done activated all this other shit. There was nothing you could buy. You live in the woods. What the fuck you gonna buy? I don't like camouflage. I don't. So I started buying guns. They did have value. When you can meet somebody in front of the Dollar General in West Virginia and buy guns out of a trash bag, that's some exciting shit. Except for when you start shooting them at your neighbors. Oh yeah, remember Larry, when you was hiding in the closet, you punk motherfucker? I know I've been out of my mind for a long time. No, there's four-step stuff in there. Have you ever been shot or stabbed or had a finger in your butt like Brian? There's trauma associated with that. I didn't know that when that boy shot me that I had put a reservation. I started buying them guns and AK-47s and all this shit. Like, it was because I was trying to go back and heal the brokenness of feeling like a punk when that man shot me. So when there was a reservation to hurt somebody and go back and relive that thing. And I ended up putting my best friend in harm's way. My wife got strawberries on her knees for diving on the floor. I'm shooting at the boys. They're shooting back. Bullets are going through the windows. She said, what the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck you talking about was wrong with me? You see that bitch? He was hiding behind a tree. You motherfucking punk motherfucker. I was gone. So most of y'all don't tell them kind of stories, so I'll be feeling so ostracized when I come here and talk about this shit, and y'all look at me like, oh my God. Don't feel bad for me, feel bad for my fucking wife. Y'all need to love her. So anyway, last Saturday, at the mall, got the phone. Who the fuck is Bay? You're 16. Who the fuck is Bay? And then with kissy face emoji. No. Lie to your mother. Sneaking out. March 28th. I'll tell her it happened. What the fuck happened on March 28th? Now I went from aggressive and angry to, oh my God, shit just got real. She said, you don't hate me, do you, Daddy? I said, no, I don't hate you. She said, we tried it, but it hurt. It didn't really. And I didn't put his thing in my mouth. I'm like, oh, my motherfucking God. Oh.
lucky I was sitting down in the middle of the motherfucking food court. And it wasn't about the fact that she had sex. It was the fact that we're so distant in our relationship that she didn't feel like she could talk to me or come to me. I'm daddy. I always wanted you to be my little girl for forever. For forever, I want to be your hero. I want to be who you look up to, who you admire, who you trust, who you adore. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. I'll spoil you. Don't tell your brother. I'll get you that. Don't tell me. I got you. I got you. So, in that painful moment, we developed a new trust and a new relationship and a new... I said, I promise you, all I ever wanted to do was be here for you to help you. I'll never want you to hurt. I don't want nothing to happen to you. And she said, you ain't going to tell mommy, are you? I said, I'm not going to tell her tonight. No, you need to tell her. But I want to build a little trust with you, and you tell her. But if not, then I'm going to tell her, because this is serious. You don't even understand. We're talking about, I'm 40-something years old. I don't want to get into exactly 40-something. And, sex has fucked me up my whole life. Not knowing how to deal with the emotions, not knowing if it, you know, performance anxiety, what is it? You make that noise, I think now I'm in control. Or if you don't make that noise, what the fuck just happened? Or, you know what I mean? Now you made that noise, you're supposed to buy me stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you do some stuff, then I'll buy you some stuff. And I'm thinking, this is what my daughter is now experiencing, and she's in the midst of, and she don't have no help. And she's treating everything just like her daddy does, trying to figure it out on his own. Knowing that's going to hurt. Only difference is, I got y'all. When at the end of the road, I can come in here and tap out and say, this is what the fuck's really going on. Can you help me? Yeah, I know I've been carrying it this way and I've been acting that way, but a lot of times my fear will have me in an antisocial posture because I don't know if I'm really ready to touch it, so that means none of y'all can bump into it. So, I didn't tell her mother. My wife got mad and said, you need to tell her. But I'm trying to develop a trust with my daughter, so I didn't tell her mother. But my wife did. She felt as a woman that was something that needed to happen. So yet again, I'm a guy, hold on. I came here at 26 years old, had a son that my mother had raised, had a job, but I was really living behind the bowling alley. I lived in a shed one time where my baby's mother used to come in there and have sex with me in the shed till a realtor came and kicked us out because the house was for sale. So, you know what I mean? My dad taught me sports, but so now I come to Narcotics Anonymous and I done became a dad, I done became a son, I done became a sponsee, I done became a husband, I done became a friend, and you know emotionally I'm in over my head with all those relationships. And don't know which questions to ask or who to go to, so I'm in here struggling trying to manage my own life based in the fears of not knowing what the fuck do we do next. And now I got this 16-year-old little girl who's experiencing sex. I'm like, oh, we ain't have no motherfucking babies, no STDs, no motherfucking rapes. I'm going to go kill somebody. Like, all this shit is spiraling out of control. And what that does is drive me, once all my emotions have stopped overrunning my intellect, drives me to a deeper dependence on the God of my understanding. And that's the answer. Bottom line is, I want to be free. And if you don't know what freedom is not being controlled by the things that used to control you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Damn, man.